The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, we want to talk traffic because, as you probably know, new traffic management has come into effect in Dublin City near Pierce Street. The new rules will see only public transport, taxis and cyclists allowed to turn left from Westland Row onto Pierce Street. So if you're used to heading to the north of the city from the south and using Pierce Street and then crossing over, you won't be able to do that anymore at that particular bridge, at Butt Bridge. You'll have to find some other way to go. Also, you may have heard that four people were tragically killed in separate accidents across the island over the weekend in 24 hours. All of them were women. And the Minister, Sean Canney, is expected to meet with the RSA to talk about more road safety measures. For more on this and other topics, I'm joined on the line by Ger Herbert, motoring editor and columnist with The Independent. Ger, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, let's talk first of all about the new traffic measures that are being implemented so that people coming down Western Row and then turning left into Pierce Street, which is the normal way people would go, and then into Tara Street to get maybe onto the quays or across the river, they can't do that anymore. How are they expected to cross the river now, do you know?
Yes, so this is, I suppose, phase two of the Dublin City Centre traffic plan. We saw some changes come in last August. So basically now, as you said, only public transport, taxis and cyclists can turn left from Westland Row. And a new right turn for general traffic, that's cars and delivery vans, will be introduced at this junction. So I'm just looking at the map now, a new west will be introduced to the junction of Westland Road. Just trying to explain this to people who are listening, to the junction of Sandwich Street Lower. So this section between Sandwich Street and Westland Row will now be two ways. So really you'd need to look on this in a map if you're not familiar with this. If you are, this probably does make sense to you. And these changes were introduced yesterday.
I'm just wondering, what bridge do I take? Am I somehow to make my way to the Samuel Beckett Bridge to get across the river?
Yeah, I'm not clear on that, to be honest. Now, and this was one of the big issues when it was when the changes were introduced in August as well, is what way Google Maps routes you. Because we saw last year when the changes were introduced in August, the flow down the Liffey was actually improved, but it was the subsequent, you know, the adjoining streets that were impacted by congestion. Mm-hmm. And it was very much determined by how Google Maps routes you. So that will be the big issue as to which bridge traffic is being sent to.
Will they send you to the East Link, which is tolled? Will they send you on the M50? I don't know. Anyway, time will tell. But I was trying to figure out in my own head how the hell I'd get across the river. And for the moment, I can't. I need to get out an old, rather than a Google map or something like that, get an old street map of Dublin on paper and try to figure it out myself. That's what I like.
And figure out the route. Yeah, I suppose the only bit of good news, Pat, is that it's been introduced at a time when the traffic is going to be lighter. The secondary schools are closing at the end of this week, and that will have a big impact on traffic. Now, ideally, if they'd left it another month, the traffic would have been an awful lot better. But it's a good time to be introducing it. If you remember, the August ones were introduced at the end of August, just as the schools were opening. So that wasn't ideal. So traffic-wise, it's not a bad time to be introducing these. But yeah, people need to figure out which route is the best one for them. It's, you know, it really depends on what your final destination is. But again, the whole point of this is that 60% of the general traffic is only going through the city. It's not actually stopping. Yeah. So
I heard a contributor this morning saying that 71% of people actually take public transport into Dublin City. That still leaves 29% who take the private car and who need to get into Dublin City, and they do it by private car. Whether it's the white van with the plumber or the tradesman or whatever, or whether it's someone who is too infirm or perhaps elderly or perhaps disabled who needs to use the car, or just people who, for various reasons, having to make a number of stops with dropping children off, etc., or whatever it might be, there's still a lot of people who need to get into Dublin City.
Yeah, and this is quite a major route. So, yeah, there'll be a lot of head scratching this morning trying to figure out what's the best way around this.
Now, a very bad weekend for fatalities on our roads across the island. In 24 hours, four people were killed, all of them, as it happens, women.
A desperately sad weekend, absolutely. A driver, two pedestrians and a cyclist killed in counties Wexford, Clare, Meath and Tyrone. So basically all, you know, forms of road users, all at four different counties, different times during the day. So really does show that, you know, road safety is a nationwide concern and not just confined to certain counties. Very, very sad, really is. And I mean, heading in now to the June bank holiday, which is in a time when people are on unfamiliar roads, making journeys they don't normally make or whatever, I suppose the advice is just to slow down and take it easy. But, you know, I mean, overall, the trend is quite good this year. There is a reduction being shown in road fatalities, but it takes a weekend like this, I suppose, to, you know, to bring it home to everybody again that it's far from really improving.
Yeah, every accident, of course, is different. Every fatality comes about through different circumstances. So, you know, generalizing from the fact that four women were killed in 24 hours, it doesn't actually, without detailed analysis, forensic analysis, tell us what we need to do to prevent those kind of things.
No, absolutely. And the fact that, as I said, it was a driver, two pedestrians and a cyclist, I mean, the large proportion were vulnerable road users. But what's interesting is, I mean, in some ways, the sort of impetus behind improving road safety has gone slightly. We saw a lot of focus last year. There was also the second part of the speed limit reductions is supposed to reduce speed limits to 30 kilometres in urban areas and reduce the national secondary road speed limit. That was supposed to happen in June. The government have been very slow to confirm dates on that. I'm hearing myself that they were waiting to see how the rural road reduction went before they were going to confirm changes on this one. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what Minister Canny says now, whether or not there will be a date put in place for the second phase of this speed limit reductions.
Now, I'm looking at a report in today's Irish Times that bans could not be implemented on almost 3,000 disqualified drivers because the driver number had not been furnished. I mean, what kind of carry-on is that?
This has been going on for years, Pat, and it seems to go back to the idea that the Ireland system for disqualifying drivers, it relies heavily on voluntary compliance. So when you go to court or when you're disqualified from driving, either through penalty points or appearing in court, the onus is on you then to actually, you know, physically surrender your licence. So there doesn't appear to be any sort of proactive automated system to either physically compel you to do it.
I mean, if you're in court, they know who you are. So therefore, if they know who you are, they can track your driving license. Maybe GDPR gets in the way. I don't know. I can't imagine it does. So if they know, it should automatically go on a system that tells a guard that when he stops somebody, you should not be driving. You're banned.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems completely ridiculous in this day of digital age that we actually have to physically surrender a paper license. But there does seem to be an issue about capturing the driver number if that's not the case. So, you know, at present, it seems that if a driver doesn't physically surrender the license, the disqualification is still legal. But that...
But if nobody knows...
The National Vehicle and Driver File is not updated, which is the problem.
So a guard stops someone who's been banned from driving and they haven't surrendered their license and therefore their driver number. And even if they do, you want to know what happens to it. If you surrender your license to a guard station, what do they do with it and how widespread is that information shared?
Yeah, but I mean, the whole point is that the National Vehicle and Driver File will be updated and reflect that. And that's what the guards have access to at the side of the road. And that's how they can tell whether you're insured and all of those things. So if that's not being updated, that's really what the issue is. But it just seems extraordinary because this has been going on for years. So, I cannot understand how this is still continuing.
Yeah. And the problem is if a minister gets involved with trying to sort this out and does sort it out, they get no thanks for it in a way because it should have been done years ago. So, you know, you're only doing what is right. Now, something else, another motoring story, which I was reading in the journal.ie, which is that there now may be motorway driving and motorway testing for people who want to learn to drive, because our behaviour on our motorways seemingly is grossly inferior to that of Germans on their autobahn. So when would that come into effect? Because then you have to have someone driving with you, partnering you as you embark on a motorway for the very first time as a trainee.
Yeah, but I mean, the idea is that this is should be part of learning to drive. In the UK in 2018, they introduced it where driving instructors could, they felt that somebody learning to drive was competent enough to be taken on the motorway, they could actually bring them on the motorway and do some lessons. Now, it's not part of the test in the UK, but certainly it is part, it is going, there is that the entire driving test at the moment is under review, and it is supposed to be one of the things that's included, because it's ridiculous at the moment, because basically what we have is we have learners who then qualify as they have a full license. Most of them shy away from the motorway because they've never been instructed how to do it. They end up being on roads that are statistically much, much more unsafe, because we know our safest roads are actually the motorways. And then when they do eventually go on the motorway, they learn from other drivers who've never had proper instruction on the motorway either. So we have this, you know, constant situation where this is, I think, why we have such bad lane discipline and tailgating on the motorway, because nobody in Ireland has actually been instructed on how to drive properly on the motorway. Mm-hmm.
And a question from a listener: what happens if you don't live anywhere near a motorway and you want to practice?
Well, that's another issue as well. And you wonder if it does become part of the test, how will you be tested on it if you live in certain areas that aren't? But I mean, I think that the key thing is to get learners some sort of instruction on motorways before they sit the test.
Now, on the subject of the first topic we had, which is about the new Dublin City Council traffic rules, the texters are very active. More standstill traffic, more pollution. Well done, Green Party. It won't be long till all shops will close up as well. Samuel Beckett Bridge, Machen Street, the worst congested streets in Dublin already. People will turn right onto Pier Street and do U-turns. Can't understand this mad idea. That's from Jay. Go down Hollow Street and then into Sandwich Street and then turn left onto Pier Street. I'm not sure I'm allowed onto Pier Street at all. There's only buses and taxis and bikes on Pier Street. It can take 5 changes of the lights to cross the Samuel Beckett Bridge from south to north. It makes going to the Bordgosh Theatre an absolute pain. Google Maps is suggesting that I go down Hollow Street and then Sandwich Street and then onto Pier Street. This will be chaos. I'm speechless. We have to figure it out for ourselves. I've been trying to figure out for months exactly how I'll get from south to north across the Liffey. No information on yesterday's map as to what bridge to use, or should more traffic pile up on the mess that's already the East Link. Maybe DCC would prefer if I stay at home. That's from D in Dublin 5. And that seems to be kind of a general feeling among those who occasionally or have to use cars to get across the city. Would they prefer that you just take a train if you have one, take a Dart, take a Lewis, take a bus? But if you can't do that, to hell with you. Anyway, figure it out for yourselves. That seems to be the message. Ger Herbert, who's motoring editor and columnist with The Independent, thank you very much for joining us.